While we are facing a COVID-19 pandemic in a world right now, there's been a silent pandemic plaguing us for many generations. All around the world today, there are people in our churches, businesses, governments, and even in our homes that are operating out of an orphan spirit. Papa God has adopted us as sons and daughters. We are heirs of the inheritance of King Jesus. But there is an entire generation who are living as orphans, not as sons and daughters of glory. And they are currently 3.4 billion people who have very little access to the gospel message, the good news, and 1.7 billion people, they have no access to the gospel at all. So while we wait for the second coming of Jesus, they have never heard about the first. What would the world look like if the sons and daughters of glory, they held prominent positions in society? How would the lives of every human change if we truly understood the depths of our Father's love for us? What if we all understood our identity? What would the world change if we all loved like Jesus? People are Papa God's number one priority, and He wants His kids back. His desire is that His sons and daughters would shed the lies and the stronghold that hinder love and step into their true identity as ambassadors of love to a world searching for a God that looks like Jesus. All of creation is longing for the entire manifestations of the sons and daughters of glory. The time for reformation is here. A tsunami wave of love is coming, and the world as we know it will never be the same. The orphan spirit has plagued our world by causing sons and daughters to believe that they are insignificant and causing the family to believe they are homeless. Papa God wants 1 billion new sons and daughters to enter His kingdom, and the Agape Reformation is bringing a tsunami wave of love that will transform God's people and the world forever. Orphans will stand up and take their rightful place as heirs of the kingdom and will find their place at the table in the family of God. Family is what the kingdom looks like, and Papa God wants His family back. This Reformation, this Agape Reformation, would be a revival that we've never seen on this earth. It will transform culture, government, and education, and will radically affect every sphere of society. Because when love moves in, fear moves out. Oh, it is time to take our place as ambassadors of love and show the world a God that looks like and sounds like and feels like Jesus. It is time for the Agape Reformation. Can we give Jesus a good hand? Wow. It is amazing for me to be back again with the Beltway Park family. Could you just wave to me and let me just kind of look at all of you beautiful people, and also for some of you that are looking online. And I just got so touched during worship, and I just kind of sneaked around, and I was just looking at you worshiping and seeing people from all different ages. You see three generations. You have grandmas and grandpas and fathers and mothers and sons and daughters are all worshiping Jesus. And I wanted just to honor, and I shared with Pastor Randy, I said, Jeremy, the worship pastor, just impresses in me to see to some degree, you wouldn't even know who is the worship pastor. And you can see that fathering heart, how he's just kind of lifting up other sons and daughters of glory, and just be able to see the different incredible giftings coming together in worship. And you can see that also in the congregation, that this is not the performance thing, it is a passion thing. And it is something that is burning. And when you know that it is some, it's not something you do, it's something that you are. And I know that he is a worshiper, and he is raising up worshipers that are worshiping in spirit and in truth. And I do want to honor Beltway family. And I still remember when David McQueen, and I shared that in the other services, he called. And actually, it started with Papa Jack a few years earlier. Says, you need to meet this beautiful family, Beltway Park family. And you're going to hear a little bit of my story. With how many of you know who Papa Jack Taylor is? And I know he's been here for years. And by the way, he sends love and greetings. And next week, he's going to be in our home. And then my wife and myself and Fried and Papa Jack, we're heading to Albuquerque, New Mexico. So he's 87 years old and he's still going strong. And so he's celebrating you. But he says, I want you to meet one of your brothers, David McQueen. And I want you to meet an incredible family. And then I had the honor to come here for the Word, Spirit, and Power Conference with them. And I just connected with you. And then I got the phone call. Can you come and meet with the elders? And you, as a gracious people, had already said, we want to invest $100,000 with Global Mission Awareness as a Kingdom Family movement. And we want to help you to take, first of all, raising up a mission force. That's very much of what we do, is where the greatest revivals are. I want you to know, light penetrates darkness, but the glory penetrates gross darkness. And we're raising places, and I wish I could have taken you on a trip around the world in Brazil where there's revival fire. But I want that fire, for the wind to take that fire and spread it throughout the Middle East. Because part of my assignment is to make it hard for people to go to hell and easy for people to go to heaven. And people have not rejected Jesus. They're just looking for a God that looks like Jesus. And that's what's going to happen just to ordinary people like you and I that are just falling in love with Jesus, getting to know the Holy Spirit and coming into such a co-dependency upon the Holy Spirit. And especially in this COVID-19 season, it's been a privilege to be able to see that even using technology, we have actually reached 1.7 million people in the darkest places while we've been stuck and locked up. Isn't that beautiful? And we've actually empowered 35,000 leaders, and especially the ones in India, Nepal, and Pakistan, and some of the darkest places in the world. And then you as a family, there were several times where, like one example, and I want you just kind of to know because you have stocks in it. But one moment we found out that the pastors and the persecuted church, they were starving to death because they were locked up. And they are the lowest of the low in Pakistan. So we had an opportunity through the partnership with you to take 200 Christian family that have lived under persecution. We gave them food and we gave them medicine and we helped them throughout the whole COVID season. 200 Christian families. So I want you to give yourself a good hand. And then it did something with me, because as I just sensed that the joy, and I got to see the videos and picture from it because I was home. And then the Holy Spirit says, why are you just doing that with your brothers and sisters? Why don't you contact the top imam and say, do you have 200 Muslim families? Do you have 200 Muslim families that are struggling? Because we want to help them through this whole COVID season. And there was something that happened with the Muslim when they're seeing that the Christians, the brothers and sisters in Abilene, just coming in with the goodness and the kindness and the love, and was giving them food and medicine. And you should have seen some of these people with these long beards and the dark brown eyes when they came in there, got their rice bags and they got beans and got all of those things to bring home. Because I believe the goodness and kindness leads to repentance. So I'm just saying that to you, that you are part of something very significant. And just our little family, Global Mission Awareness, while I'm here today, we have a family. Just in Pakistan today, we have 97,000 people. Most of them meeting in homes. And they are worshiping Jesus. But when they are going to church, they don't know if they're going to come there alive. They do not have an opportunity to go maybe with cars, with air condition, and coming into buildings like this. Many of them are meeting in home, living in severe persecution. But I can tell you something, they are worshiping just like you and I. And they know that worthy is the Lamb. Jesus is worthy everything. And they're willing to live and die for Jesus. It's a beautiful family. And we have a family in Cuba. I actually FaceTimed them yesterday while I was sitting up front in Cuba. In the middle of the communist Cuba, there's also an alive family, a kingdom family that is just flooding Cuba with the goodness and the kindness of God. So there's revival fires all over the world. Don't listen to bad news. The gospel is the good news. And by the way, Jesus is winning. It started well and it ends well. It started with God and it ends with God. It started with a family and it ends with a family represented from every nation, tongue, and tribe, and language. And imagine as I'm watching many of you just worshiping extravagant. And in a moment I was thinking about in Revelation 7, 9. There they are. And I know in Wall Street this is illegal. But there they are. Represented from every nation, every tongue, every tribe. It's called inside trading. The reason I'm investing very clear because I saw how the ending is going to be. The book of Revelation is not the revelation of Antichrist. No, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And many times we are focusing on what the enemy is doing instead of what Jesus is doing. And there was an enemy who came to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus always came to give life and life more abundantly, John 10:10. So anyway, in Revelation 7, 9, there they are, represented from every nation, every tongue, every tribe, and every language, worshiping. Worthy is the Lamb. Here we are going to be together. Imagine that billions and billions, as far as your eyes can see an ocean, are just worshiping together. Something we're going to do for eternity. But there's still some room in heaven for some people from Abilene. There's a couple of gaps in heaven for people from Texas. There's room for some Texans. And we need some more Texans with cowboy boots in heaven and cowboy hats. We need some extravagant worshipers from Texas because I tell you, the Brazilian, they know how to worship. And I've been to Africa, they know how to dance. And I'm a Norwegian, there's very few Norwegians. And I want to make sure that every Norwegian will be in heaven because we need some Vikings also in heaven. And so I am just living my life with a simple thing. I want everyone to know how good Papa God is and how loved they are. I want you to have, if you have your Bible, to make this meeting legal. We're going to look at the Bible. And we're going to read from Isaiah chapter 6. And I felt this word for you for this season. It's not just for you. I think it is a word for the world and for America. Isaiah chapter 6 from verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, and he was high and lifted up. And the train of his robe, it filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two, they covered his face. And with two, he covered his feet. And in two, he flew. And one cried to the other one and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of glory." I want you to say that with me. Say, "The whole earth is full of his glory." Let's say that one more time. Say, "Abilene is full of his glory." When you see things from heaven's view, it looks different. If I'm looking at Abilene here, Abilene maybe can look full of sin. But when I'm coming up, there is glory everywhere. And there are sons and daughters of glory that's going to release glory everywhere. So for us, we go from glory to glory because the starting point is glory. Because we see things the way that God sees things. And we don't treat people based upon their history, but their destiny. Can you say amen? We don't treat people based upon their history, but their destiny. But let's continue here. And the post of the door was shaken by the voice who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he has taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it, and he said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged." And I heard a voice saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Say us. Say us. Then I said, "Here am I, send me." And we often use that as a mission message. Can you say amen? One more time, say amen. Oh, very good. I just wanted to describe a couple of core values. It was in the year that King Uzziah died. Say died. And there was something significant. Let me just give you the background. King Uzziah, one of the greatest kings of Israel, he became king when he was 16 years old. And he was a king for 52 years. And he was a good king. Actually, Judah, the kingdom, grew and expanded. He was an inventor. He was incredible creative. He is the one that invented the catapult. And because of a lot of the invention and all of these things, wisdom that came from God, his name, Uzziah, means strength of Yahweh. His name means the strength of God. And the reason they were so blessed was he operated in the strength of God. And as a result, the people prospered. The people were blessed. The nation was a blessing for the nation. But then something started to happen. He started to operate in his own strength. And sometimes there's things that God has given us that suddenly even the gifts takes us away from the giver. Sometimes in a moment, pride started to come in his journey. And the Bible says he got leprosy. And a leprosy is a picture, and sometimes there's a leprosy that can hide there, which was actually sin. He was a king, but he started to operate outside his area of calling. And he started to operate as a priest. And when he did that, that's when God gave him some warning, and he got leprosy. And the story is King Uzziah died. So it was in the year King Uzziah died. And I do believe that many of us in this season, there is something, there are some King Uzziahs that are dying in this season all over the world. And the Uzziah is also a picture of, it's a picture of something that we have relied on and trusted. We can have trusted in government. We're trusting in system. And this is what happened with Isaiah the prophet. As long as King Uzziah was on the throne, when that was going on, everything was going well because the historian says he was the cousin of the king. So he had all this favor in his life. But suddenly when the king died, there was something in him, and he got nervous. When the shaking was going on, it was coming towards him. That was the moment he had an encounter with God. How many of you have had an encounter with God? How many of you would like to have an encounter with God? And I'm about to share just a couple of my encounters with God and how it changed me from a Norwegian orphan to becoming a son. And then some of the things you saw on the video. Just ordinary people like you and I that have an encounter. But even in this season, if there's any Uzziahs in your life that has to die, let go of it. Let go of anything that you have relied on in this season. Because God is inviting us to have a fresh new encounter with him. I want you to recognize something with King Uzziah. Before the king died, he would prophesy. He said, woe is you. There's something problem. Woe is America. Woe is what's happening in Washington, D.C. Woe is what's happening with COVID-19. He would point to all what is wrong. That was the prophet. That's where he came from. But after this, now what God is doing, he's bringing him, because it starts with his people, God's people. The problem was never darkness, but lack of light. Could I say that one more time? You do not have a darkness problem in America, but lack of light. And light is always greater than darkness. So what was actually taking place now, he had an encounter and he saw the Lord. When he saw the Lord, then he started to see who he was, but also who he was. And he recognized, I am the man with unclean lip. When he looked, what he also saw, there was this train of the robe of God that filled the temple. And I felt that during worship today that we were kind of in, we could have spent a little bit more time until his train, the train of his robe of the glory would fill this temple. Wow. And something takes place when you just ask the host his presence. And all they could say is, holy, holy, holy. When you're looking at his love, it is holy. When you're looking at his joy, it is holy. Everything is holy when you see him. And Isaiah, when he sees himself and says, woe is me, I am the man with unclean lips. And I live among a people. Now he identifies with those people. It is not us against them. It is not Democrats against Republicans. Now he is identifying with the Muslims, with the Hindus, or whatever is going on in the world. It is no longer us against them when I've seen the Lord and I see who I am. And then this angel takes this coal of fire, puts on his lips, because before he would maybe criticize, talk what's bad in America, talking about the giant instead of talking to the giant. But now the lips got on fire. And I'm seeing some young people and older people today that you're going to get a coal of fire touching your lips. And he's doing with me again. He's just putting the coals on fire. Be careful what we say in this season, what we prophesy, because we're supposed to release glory. We're seeing the gold. Even in the middle of the mud, we're actually speaking forth the gold that is in people's life. Because we are glory manager, not sin manager. Could I say that one more time? We are glory manager, not sin managers. You started out in glory, and what sin made you fall short of glory. But what Jesus came was to restore you back again to glory, because you are glorious. Jesus didn't die on the cross to make you valuable. He died on the cross because you are valuable. Just look at the price that he paid. Has all to do with the value. You are valuable, and so is every person that is made in his image. So something happened with Isaiah. He was transformed of this encounter, and the lips was on fire. It purrs, it cleansed his lips in what he was saying. And then he started to identify with the pain and the brokenness that was anywhere else. And then when his lips got on fire, it was both a purging, but it's also a passion, a new passion. He started to burn for something. And there's something with people that they never changed the message, like a Billy Graham when he went up to heaven. He kept that message. His tongue was on fire. Why, Rainer Bonke, his tongue was on fire. There's something about people that have had a purging. The coal of fire from heaven has touched their lips. And they're representing good news, not what is wrong out there, but they're speaking good news with their lips. And they're prophesying, they're releasing life and life abundantly, because that's what Jesus came to give. Be careful, this kind of a thinking can lead to dancing. And you can become a joyful Christian. One more little thing, and then I will share a little bit of my story here. And then the next thing that is taking place here, his ear opened up. Say, his ear opened up. Do you remember? What he did was he listened now to a conversation in heaven. Isn't that interesting? When your tongue gets on fire, there's a purging, cleansing, and God does something with me in this season of anything that is not of him. I'm just laying it at the altar, and the fire is just taking away the things that can be shook. It's just been taken away. So the only thing that is unshakable will stand. And I love that, because that is enough. Jesus is enough, and he is unshakable. And then the next thing that is taking place, his ears open up, and he's hearing this conversation from heaven. And the conversation is about the problems going on in Abilene. It is the problem going on in America. It's problems going on in the world. God could do it himself, but he's looking for, is there anyone out there? Who are we going to have? Who is willing to represent? Who will go for us? It didn't say who will go for me. Who will represent the family of heaven? The Father, Son, Spirit is actually talking. How do we know? Us. There's a conversation of the family in heaven. They're looking for a family on earth that will represent good news and will come in with good news. And for sons and daughters of glory, they just come in and say, here am I. I'm hearing what you're saying, Father. There's something in the school system in Abilene, or there's something here going on in the Middle East, or there's something going on in ordinary people like you and I. And this is the freedom when you're just presenting yourself as a living sacrifice. That's just your reasonable service. Because when you have seen him, you have seen yourself. And in that moment, you're just laying down the things that doesn't need to be part of your life. Your tongue get on fire, your ears open up, and you're coming into an alignment with heaven, and you start to hear what God says. And you just make yourself available. And each one of us, we make earth look a little bit more like heaven. Can I say that one more time? Then each one of us, when we capture this, we're making sure that the earth looks a little bit more like heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, in Abilene, as it is in heaven. I've had about 3 major Uzziah moments in my life. And I'm going to try as fast as I can. Somebody told me that you speak as fast as Pastor David. And I know that's hard, because I even come with a Norwegian accent. So it's going to be harder for you to listen. But if your tongue is on fire, your ears are open up. So hopefully you can hear this Norwegian Viking speak. But I wanted just to share my story, because you are part of my story. And I'm part of your story. We are family. And Beltway Park family has given my wife and I a place at the family table. I don't feel I'm a visitor here any longer. I'm home. I'm home. And I hope that none of you are coming in as orphans, that you will find your place at the family table, that you will come with your special sauce. so that everybody knows the uniqueness. Each one of you carries something. You're made in His image. You're an image bearer. And there's something of the face of God that can only be found when you find yourself. Because when you see Him, you see yourself. And the way you see everything else changes. And it starts by looking up. Say, looking up. Then look in. Look out. Look forward. My story, as I said, well, my mom was pregnant with me. She had surgery 55 years ago. She didn't know she was pregnant. So when I came into this world, I was a little baby full of fear. Because she carried me for 4.5 months with fear. What's going to happen to the baby? Did he get a damage during the surgery? The reason I'm telling this as a story is connected to part of my journey. When I was about 12 years old, there was this abuse and pain that took place. So I went from fear, adding shame to it. I lived with shame. And I was trying to hide it up. But when you have pain in your life, pain seeks pleasure. So from the time I was about 13 years old till I was 18 years old, I ended up as a prodigal son. I ended up in the pig pen, suicidal drug addict. 5 years, and when I was 18 years old, Jesus came and He found me. He saved me. He healed me. He delivered me and He set me free. That's the good news. The bad news was I went to church. It was not this kind of a church. And when I came to church, I went from rebellion to religion. I went from being a prodigal son to be a prodigal brother. And in the next moment, I'm out there trying to live for God because I didn't know how to live from God. I learned to be an achiever because you got value based upon what you did. Welcome to the orphan world. Make that story short. Eventually, I met my wife. She was here in the first service, and we got married. I went to Bible college, seminary, became a youth pastor, became a pastor, and eventually, the Southern Baptist, they wanted me to come back to Norway because Norway was becoming liberal, and they wanted me to be a kind of a conservative representative, and I started to pastor a Baptist church, and my dream back then, it would be to see my Baptist church. My Baptist church, we started with 154, but we got up to 185, and my dream was to reach the 200 mark. I know I was a very big dreamer. And then the problem was we had a couple of funerals. That means we have to witness more and evangelize more for me to reach the goal. And when we got to about 1995, I was pretty much burned out because I'm juggling things. Because all of these things, I'm trying to please God. Didn't realize I'm already pleasing to God. I was trying to perform for a promise. But on the inside, I was still an orphan. Knew Jesus, but something missing. I didn't have power in my life. And I still remember the pain. A man named Amar, who was the head deacon, he died of cancer. And I lowered my expectancy level. I didn't want to have more disappointments. Because as long as I believed, it led to disappointment. I didn't say to people, I prayed for people, but I didn't expect that God was going to do. God could, He's sovereign, but He wouldn't. So low expectation. This set me off for June 6, 1995, when a man named Randy Clark, who has been here, he came to our little place, and he was doing a leadership meeting, and then he shared his testimony like I'm doing here, and the people lined up afterwards to be prayed for. And in my Baptist church, they didn't do that. And then we lined up, and there was the Lutheran and Salvation Army and the Church of Christ. I mean, these different people were down the line. And the Methodists, and when you went down, and then I stood in the middle as a Baptist. But I had a problem because when Randy prayed, he prayed for somebody. He didn't touch him, but they fell on the floor. We don't do that in my Baptist church. And then I knew that I can get kicked. That are the deacons. They will vote me out if I fall on the floor. This is before I knew how to cast out a deacon. I didn't know about deacon possession. I love deacons, by the way. So I was kind of a controlled, fearful, and Randy went down, bless him, touch him, fill him, and he came to me. And instead of, he says, you are a bulldozer. And I'm thinking, no, I'm a Baptist pastor. Didn't know much about prophecy. They didn't teach me that in seminary. You are a bulldozer. You're going to go into the darkest places in the world where the gospel has never been before. This light was following after you, and thousands of people were following after you. And the next moment, I feel electricity. I'm like, I tried to control it, but the worse it got. And then it was fire. I'm burning up. I'm a Norwegian, cold weather, but I am on fire. And then electricity, fire. For 2.5 hours, I'm on the floor. And I didn't know that God is about to rewire me. When I came up on that floor, I was changed. I had been baptized in the Holy Spirit, baptized in fire. I came up from that very place. 6 months later, I'm in Pakistan, in the Middle East. God had spoken, you're going to see 1 million Muslims saved. I didn't like Muslims. I didn't even know one Muslim. And here I am, 6 months after this encounter, I'm standing there. It was late one night, 24,000 people. They're gathered in a meeting. And imagine from this small little town of Norway in a little Baptist church, 24,000 Muslims in a meeting, and it's tension, and I'm standing up on the stage, and then a group came towards us chanting in the meeting, and I'm sure I'm about to get killed. I'm up on the stage totally crippled by fear, and I saw these radical Muslims, a whole group chanting, and it came towards us. But then the closer they got, I realized that there was this person in the middle of them that did like this, and they're coming closer and closer, and eventually, they came up on the stage, and he came up and testified. He was quadriplegic. And 12 years, he broke his neck. The friends took him on a stretcher, put him on the top of the bus because the bus was full. For 7 hours, brought him to the meeting. But in this meeting, Jesus showed up. And this radical Muslim had an encounter, and all of his friends watched the strength as the presence of Jesus. Nobody prayed for him. It was just the presence of Jesus in the meeting. In an area where the gospel had not been before. And then the next moment he stands up and they were shouting, "Jesus, Jesus," in Urdu, in their language. Came up on the stage, testify about Jesus. Saw a lady, she had no eyeballs. Jesus created eyes in the front of the people. Lame were walking, blind were seeing. All the things in the Bible was happening. And I just wept. And I wept, and 24,000 of them just surrendered their life to Jesus. They prayed a sinner's prayer and they got the name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, I could no longer go back to the old way of fishing where you've been fishing all night getting very little. I learned there's another way of fishing. And it wrecked me. But that night, there was a lady. She opened up her burqa. And I will forget those 24,000. I have an old video just to remind me. But I never forget this lady. I have a picture in my office, round face. She took the burqa and I looked into her face and she said, "I got saved tonight." And I'm like, "Yeah." The translator was translating. She said, "I also got healed." And she told me all the things she got healed from. And I'm like, "Yes, Jesus." And then she said, from the joy of her salvation, the joy of her healing, she says, "How long have you known about this Jesus?" And I was thinking, my country, Norway, we've had Jesus for 1,000 years. "Well, how long have you known about this Jesus?" 1,000 years. "Why didn't you come earlier? Why didn't you come earlier? My son, he died, and he never got to know about Jesus. My husband, he died, and he never got to hear this message. And the people in my village, they've never heard about Jesus. Why didn't you come earlier? Why didn't you come earlier?" And I was wrecked. In the end of 1995, I got wrecked. And from that moment, it's been hard. Broken neck, broken back, body cast. Didn't know when they say you're a bulldozer, you hit things. And things hits you. And I have a lot of scars on this Norwegian body, but my smile is a genuine smile. Jesus, he is worthy. And there's no plan B, there's only one plan, and it's a plan yes. And that is that everybody's going to know how good Papa God is and how loved they are. One more experience, and I'm landing there. I met Papa Jack in year 2000. A man named Dennis Jernigan was playing the piano. I was broken at the time. Still an orphan, had seen 500,000 people saved, 300,000 people healed with an orphan spirit and an orphan heart. I was doing this to please God, not knowing I'm already pleasing to him. My health was broken. My family was broken. I was kicked out of the denomination. We didn't have any money. I was broken. And Dennis Jernigan says, "Leif, I have a song for you. It is a daddy's song." And he started to sing a song, a father's song over me. And these waves of liquid love touched this hard, strong Viking. I'm a lion. I don't know how to be a lamb. The bulldozer can do it all. And now you're just wrecked in the love of God in the front of everyone. Papa Jack says, "I've never seen a man cry like that before." I mean, I wept because the love took that little baby in the mother's womb and healed it. The love took that 12-year-old boy and restored him. And the waves of love just went through my life until Papa God, with an audible voice from heaven, says, "Leif, you are my, and you are my beloved. You're my beloved son whom I love and whom I am well pleased. I had a baptism of love experience that transformed my life. And all what matters right now, I want everybody to experience in that love of Papa. And when I started to love Muslim and love leaders and love government and started to love, the atmosphere changed, because you only have authority over what you love. Let's stand to our feet. I know time is running out, and I have so many amazing things that are just burning in me. But how are you? Are you okay? How many here are excited about Jesus? Wow. How many are? Everything Jesus did is to show us how the Father is like. And my prayer today, and we're going to make a simple prayer, that you're going to have a fresh encounter with the very love of God. And that your lips is going to be purged, so what you speak is going to be good news, and you're going to release light. You're going to release the gold that is in people's life. And that your heart is going to burn, and you're going to be a burning one. You're going to be a light in this darkness. And that every single one, this simple prayer, I did it. I'm like a coin in his hand. Do with me whatever you want to. And I'm just going on a dream with Papa God. And sometimes they say Sudan or Congo, Indonesia. Like you saw in the video, I'm there at Sharia law as a professor. I'm a professor at Sharia law. That's not bad. Or in the mosque, the king's mosque. Papa brings you into all kinds of strange places when you just make yourself available. And my simple prayer is, just like Isaiah, in everything that's going on, I'm just going to make myself available. I'm going to be myself, fully me, just seeing you high and lifted up. Holy, holy. Get to see me, lay down the things that I don't need to, so that I can then look out and hear the conversation in heaven and just make myself available to make Abilene, to make where God has placed me, look a little bit more like heaven. So people can experience a God like Jesus. Can you hold up your arms as a place of surrender? There's so many beautiful people here. And whoa, fresh baptism of love. So that Abilene is going to experience the way we love one another. They're going to see who they are and who God is. So Father, I just release over my family here in Abilene. I am so honored and grateful to be part of this beautiful, beautiful family. I thank you, Father, that you have had a dream, and that is family on earth that looks like the family in heaven. And there is room for so many more orphans to come home and find a place at the family table. So I'm asking, even at this moment, if there's something King Uzziah that needs to die, Father, we just bury anything we've relied on in the past season, so that we can have a fresh encounter with you for this new season and see you. We see the King of Kings, not sin, not darkness, but we see you high and lifted up. And then the byproduct that we're going to just make ourselves. So I want you to say here. Say here. Here am I. Send me. Say, I am a coin in your hand. Use me. Spend me in any way you want. I surrender to you. It's the safest place I can be. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Can we just celebrate Jesus and give Jesus a good hand? Thank you for having me. Wow.
Amen. Don't you just feel blessed that Leif was with us today? I love God relationships, and this is one that the Lord has given to our body, and we are so very, very thankful for you, Leif, and your family and your ministry. We'd love an opportunity to pray with you. We've got people at phones ready to do that. And so I want to encourage you, don't just walk away. As I share a few words with you, a few things that we felt like the Lord really wants us to pray into today, I want to encourage you, if that ministers to you for some reason and that you feel something in your heart, don't dismiss it. Just take it as something maybe the Lord wants to do for you. And then I want to also just encourage you that maybe you've got something else you'd like prayer for. We would love the opportunity to pray with you today. We love being able to do this. We've got people ready to pray with you. And so maybe there's something else that I don't even mention today, but it's on your heart. And give us that opportunity. The word says two or three come together agreeing in prayer. And so we want to do that. We want to be that two or three with you today. So here's a few things, though, that we felt like really the Lord would want us to pray into today. Someone named Abigail, God's desire is for you to know his overflowing joy. You are the joy of your father's heart. your loyalty has not gone unseen. Someone who has limited movement and pain in their finger joints, someone having difficulty hearing in their right ear, someone has contemplated giving away something extravagant, but you're wrestling about letting it go. Those desiring and seeking greater self-control in a particular area of your life, someone with a fractured right wrist, someone else with an injury to a left ankle, someone who used to sing all the time, always had a song in your heart, but have been in a season of no song. And then someone has already begun to dread the holidays that are approaching. We would love to pray with you about those things. You'll see a number on the screen, so feel free to kind of take note of that and to call as soon as we're out of the service. If you will, just go ahead and put your hands in front of you. We just want to position ourselves, even as we have this whole service, of just positioning ourselves even outwardly to receive what God has for us today. So I just want to pray the blessing over you today. The Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, make your face to shine upon your people. And we ask that you would be gracious today to your sons and your daughters and lift up your countenance upon them. And we ask for your peace. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Amen. Don't forget to stop by the tables on your way out. Pick up your passport. Pick up your Halloween packet. And we will see you later. Have a great Sunday.